Bonjour à toutes et tous, vous écoutez First Print, votre podcast comics préféré pour une nouvelle émission du format Super Friends. C'est le podcast qui va à la rencontre des personnes qui font vivre la pop culture et la culture comics par leur travail. Et dans le cadre des nombreuses interviews qu'on a pu faire au Festival International de la Bande Dessinée d'Angoulême, édition 2024, eh bien, j'ai le plaisir d'accueillir Stéphane Subic, le dessinateur du Riddler année 1 qui vient de sortir chez Urban Comics, donc une bande dessinée assez atypique, hein, puisqu'elle est écrite par Paul Dano, un acteur qui a incarné le personnage du Riddler dans le film The Batman de Matt Reeves et dont cette bande dessinée se déroule dans le même univers. C'est aussi le premier travail de l'artiste, en fait, pour le marché de la bande dessinée américaine. Donc, on va parler de bande dessinée, tout simplement, de Batman, du Riddler, d'ambiance. Et après le générique, on se retrouve donc en anglais. So, hello, Stéphane. It's really, really nice to have you here on our podcast. So thank you for giving us a little bit of your time between the two signings at the FIBD. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm fine. Thank you. It is amazing being here for the first time. So
it's your first time in France?
Yeah. No, not in France.
In the festival.
I was here a lot of times. I mean, in other places in festivals, but in Angoulême, it is the first time.
All right. So I'm always starting with a very basic question. Could you just a little bit introduce yourself and tell us a little bit what drove you to comic books?
Well, my name is Stevan Subic and I'm the artist from Serbia. And I'm a professional comic artist from 2015, when my first book was published here in France. Since then, I was working simultaneously with French and Italian publishers, and now in the last 2 years with DC as well. So I love to draw comics, I love to tell stories, and that all joined really well together in comics in general. So that is why I'm here. That is why I'm in comics.
Can you tell us a little bit about I don't know if you were like a reader of comics when you were young, and also if it's easy to have access to comics in Serbia?
It is, yes, of course. I mean, we are having a rich market of the licensed comics for like decades already, maybe even the century. But in my personal case, I was reading comics that are basically Italian production, Dylan Dog, Martin Mystery, those kind of titles. Because for some reason, as a kid, I haven't got that much of the French production in my hands or in my surroundings. So I was finding out about the French comics pretty late in my life. So I'm still learning about everything because you're learning a lot all the time. I'm really enjoying it. And I'm considering myself as a European artist more than I'm the artist in States. So I'm taking the heritage of the European artistical and visual approaches towards the American comics with myself. So I'm enjoying it, but I'm still European more than I'm in comics in the States.
Yeah, but when I'm referring to comics, it's from anywhere, anywhere. So you also, I mean, maybe attracted to drawing very young, or is it something that came later?
Like everybody else, I have the same story, I guess. I mean, I was drawing from my beginning.
You would be surprised.
Oh, really?
Nobody has the same story, really.
I mean, in basics, they're probably the same. Everybody's drawing forever. Like, from the first moments towards the final moment in career where they became the professionals, they are drawing all the time. So that is the step number one. It is the same with me. I was drawing all the time, but I was stopping with the drawing. I continued with the drawing when I was 27 years of age because I had a huge pause of about 9 years. When I quit drawing at the age of 18 because something happened in my private life. And then after that, when I started from the beginning, I was learning how to draw at the age of 27. And I was participating in festivals all around Europe in sense of sending my own scripts and comics, which was writing and drawing. After 4 years of that kind of a job, so to speak, I received the first professional offer from Sergio Bonelli. And that is the moment where I became a professional in comics. But until that moment, I was drawing all my life, except that 9 years of
pause,
abstinence, yeah. Doing some other things. Yeah.
So so is it something that when you're writing and drawing comics, is it something that you do separately, like you're doing a script and then the pages, or is it something since you're doing both that you're quite like mixing into maybe just in your head? How do you approach the way of drawing when you're writing?
It depends. I mean, that for example, when I was writing at the beginning, I was having the idea and the story, but the propositions of the festivals were mostly like the same, 4 pages tops. So it means you need to stay inside of those 4 pages. And those short forms are really demanding to be produced and to stay original and, you know, to keep your own voice and stuff. So it was really demanding. But as for the beginner, that is the best possible way to learn as much as you can by pushing yourself towards the absolute limits of your own. So later when I started to work with the other professionals who are writing as their jobs, for example, scriptwriters here in France, I'm learning even more about the writings from their work. And with work with them, I'm learning about the skill that is required for producing the comic. And now at the moment I am writing my own stuff as well, but I'm not publishing it yet because I'm not ready to offer it to the publishers. But I finished the story for a new edition of the Metal Elan, and it's going to be published in 2 months, I guess, in France first. And I wrote and drew that story. It is a 15-page story, which I hopefully will...
It's the one with cats?
Yeah, it's
the cat edition. Special cats, yeah.
It's the cat edition. So I wrote and drew the story for the new one. But mostly I'm drawing the stories, same as the Riddler and all of the others, by the scripts of the professionals who are writing the stories for us.
And is it difficult to adapt yourself to every writer? Because I guess that every writer has its own kind of script, or its own kind of technique to write the script down. And yeah. I guess you have to make for each experience, you have to make it something really different. I don't know if I was clear.
It's okay. No,
it's, you know, it's Saturday, same. And
we are talking the second language of both of us, so it is cool. Don't worry. I was working with a couple of scriptwriters in Italy and in France as well. So all of those gentlemen are really different in between each other. So. You're learning from every one of them because they are not there by chance. They are working. They are having some kind of the background in a industry, so they know what they're doing, and you can learn from them all the time. But yes, the team that is producing the book is obliged to produce the special one, the best from their own, the writer and the artist as a whole. So if team is functioning, everything is good. And the team is functioning if the writer is not that kind of the predominant figure that wants to be to involve in everything and to solve everything, even in the name of the artist. And same thing is with the artist. Artists should have trust in the writer and believe that those solutions are the best one. So in that kind of jamming, you are having the quality that is that can be easily recognized from the readers. They can trust you in that way. But if some of the elements of the narration, like the too strong text or too strong visuals, if the balance is jeopardized, then the readers are feeling that. And the balance is only achievable if you are working as a team. That is the only possible way. So of course, you need to adapt a little bit to somebody who you are working with, but not too much, because you're also individual with own potential, and the book requires you as well as they are requiring the scriptwriter.
Yes, but so sometimes I guess that you have also to restrain yourself from doing too much compared to the script, and that I don't know if it's a hard balance to manage.
No, it is not. I mean, because in the first place, you're serving.
It's never easy.
It is not easy, of course, but it is not hard in a way that you know what you're doing, and you are serving the purpose of the book. So you're not there to be brilliant or to, I don't know, achieve what. Your point and your goal is to finish the book. So during the way, you are just having to have trust in the things that writer is having on his mind, and also to know that you are they're expecting from you to deliver your own qualities. For example, when I was working on Conan or Tarzan or Italian books, I was brave enough, but also the honest enough to show some other potential approaches to particular panels or scenes. But they are not serving the service of my ego or something like that. They are serving exclusively the story and the flow of the readability, for example, of the story. And the screenwriters that I have privileged to work so far are thankful for that. They are appreciating that. And they are, in all of my career so far, they are treasuring that, because they know that I'm not here to dominate the story. I want the story to be best as it can. So I didn't have any kind of problems so far.
Okay. What about American comic books? Are you reading them a lot? Are you a fan?
Not that much. No. I mean, I'm a fan of the Batman, of course, and everything around him. So this is sort of the dream come true, because this is the only character that I'm really familiar with. The second one could be maybe Punisher, and that is it. My experience with American comics are, I mean, I'm aware of all of them, but I'm not reading that much, no. I'm much more, not even European comics. I'm much more in the literature. I'm a theater and a movie guy, so.
Okay, so, but can you explain it then, how you came in contact with DC Comics? If you were not, I guess you were not like willing to do an American comic book.
Yeah, I was finished with work on Conan and Tarzan back in 2021, in January. I was done with both of them because I was working on both of the books in the same time. And I was finished, when I finished the books, I decided to try with some publishers in States. I don't know, I was going for the Marvel or the DC. DC or the Marvel, but DC is my favorite because I was going off with Batman and, you know, I was hoping for DC, but it was too tough to get a chance. I was part of one pitch for DC a few years ago. The pitch didn't went through, but the editors were aware of my work to the designs in that pitch. And everything went really quiet for one or something year. And after I finished Conan and Tarzan, I suddenly got the email from the Blizzard. And I worked with Activision Blizzard on the franchise around Diablo 4. I was working with them about 8 or 9 months. And that was, so to speak, my entrance to the American industry of show business related to arts. Right when I was finishing the project with Blizzard, I was getting the offer from DC and the pitch a few years ago, and my portfolio that was already have been seen for somebody in DC, concretely that was Conan, Tarzan, and my Italian work. They just joined it all together and they represented it to Paul. At that moment, I didn't know that Paul is looking at it because nobody knows it. They looked for the artist who can work with Paul for almost 1 year. Paul wasn't satisfied with what he's seeing because he knows comics in States. He's reading, he's following, so he's familiar with artists. But the search for the proper one for him lasted for almost 1 year. He told me that he saw really a large number of portfolios down the road. And somewhere around the new year or January 2022, he saw my portfolio.
It's all right. It's okay. All right. We can let the church rings. No. You can continue.
We love the church. the church sounds.
Yeah.
That is the moment when he saw my work and he decided to give it a go instead of trying it to see can that lead us somewhere. Because initially he liked it. Finally, some work that is resonating with him on the level of aesthetics. Yeah. Then in February, somewhere in 2022, I got the initial mail from DC. Am I available? Is there something in my schedule? Because they are interested to offer me something. And then everything literally happened in 1 week. Because after that initial mail from DC towards the final one, when I met Paul, it is only 1 week in between. I signed some NDAs because it is really it is not something that is happening all the time, and I even wasn't aware what is happening in the moment. I was offered something, but I didn't know what is it. So they are just gradually giving me the data, like it is the Batman, but only that. Then it is movie related. Okay, that is something different, and then after that, at the end, it was the actor from the movie. The final point, it was the fact that it was the Paul Dano. So it is obviously the Riddler. The fact that everything happens only in 1 week, there is a moment where we need to meet each other so that we can finalize everything, finally. To meet each other to see is there that necessary sparkle between us that can lead us to the series. Editor told me that we are going to meet each other tomorrow, for example. I don't know, during the day, there is a scheduled Zoom meeting. And I was at the meeting at the time, editor was there, then the Paul is joining us, and I was seeing the Paul for the first time like that. And I'm the fan of his work, from the Denis Villeneuve Prisoners towards today. I mean, I'm literally the fan.
Yeah, especially that you told us before that you were like really, really into movies. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I'm one of the, he's one of my favorite actors in this generation of ours. Mm. And when you need to meet him in a so to speak, in person on a Zoom, it is not something that you can easily go through because I'm the fan and I'm just the Homo sapiens, you know. I'm not some kind of supernatural being who is just totally unaware of what is happening. So, but it was really amazing. What is happening? Is it you or?
No.
Something is shaking.
Ah, no, it, yeah, that was, that was my leg. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I was like, okay, what is happening? Should you run away?
Just my leg. I have the shaky leg.
Earthquake.
No. Okay, sorry.
No, it's okay. Sorry. At the moment when we met at the Zoom was the moment that decided about everything because the spark happened. We recognized each other in a level of on a level of creative minds. And you can sense that kind of the energy when you are present, when you are involved in it. It is just flowing around, and we see that we both of us were aware that we are having some kind of the energy going around. And we continue. I get the contract the same day for the Riddler, same night, right after we finished the Zoom. And that was the moment when officially the Riddler was born as an idea. And then Paul and I continue with talks almost tomorrow, and then in the next 4 months, on every 2 days, we are having 1 or 2 or 3 hours even sessions on talking about the upcoming story. And we were talking about the 4 months only about the story, not in way of how to write it, but in a way of how to visualize it, which approach we can use to tell the story. Is it going to be States or the European one? The storytelling verse in the sense of the compositions, the number of panels, even the inks and stuff, because I was there to share my knowledge from the Europe with Paul, and he's telling me his side of the experience that he had with the comics from the States. So we jammed from the beginning, from the ground zero, about the ideas and potentials that we can combine and to produce book such as this.
And I get that you had to watch a lot, I don't know a lot, but you have to rewatch the Batman also to set the mood and the atmosphere with the visuals of Matt Reeves' movie and to try to make something similar in the book, but somehow also different because it's a comic book, it's not a movie. So can't just do a copy paste, atmosphere. Yeah. So how did you work on that?
It was really easy because that is when things are happening in this kind of manner, they are not happening by chance, you know. My aesthetics and my way of view of seeing the comics in my personal camera are working totally almost the same as it is in the movie. So in that sense, I was really I was paying attention to details, but I was not having any kind of trouble by working on it. For example, there is a lot of ideas of mine that are mine from the earlier, and I spare them for my upcoming projects because I'm writing my own stuff all the time. And I decided to give them to Paul or to our story, instead of keeping them for myself for new ones that are coming. And one of those is for example, the cover. I decided to deliver the idea of joint covers of 6 issues to becoming the final one, 7th one, which is happily here on the a limited edition of the Urban's The Riddler Year One. So those are the episodes that are having their own individual covers that can be joined as a final picture when all 6 issues are joined together. So that means that we need to have the first one solved. I'm talking about the content of the cover and the final one at the same time. And the time that is in between those issues is 1.5 years. So that means that we need to have the cover for the final episode while still the script is not written for it. But we need to know the elements, and that was the Paul's part of the job. And he did that, he had the concept for all of the series. So it was making me easier how to do it because I know the elements that it can be used for the cover. And the idea, I will tell you, but it is much more easier to tell it visually. But maybe you can, for example, explain to your audience if that is not clear enough for me. In the States, joint covers are usually been doing like this. They are horizontal,
yeah,
because you can easily join them together.
Yeah,
because you need to know first one and maybe the partially the second one. That is it, and the third one.
And it's more like a linear narrative.
Exactly. Alex Ross was doing that, and there is a couple other people, but nobody was doing this kind of cover when you're doing it vertically, because in the moment when you are producing the first one, when you are producing the first one, you need to know about the second one and the third one at the same time. And the difference between first and third is that there is 6 months in between. So you haven't even tried to draw anything from this issue, but you need to know the cover for it. That is why this is really demanding approach. And needless to say, how this cover is far away. And this whole picture had to have the story when we finish the series, because it is going to be cover of the trade. So it is really demanding process, and DC asked me to draw the concept for the cover so that they can approve it, because it is the 1.5 year in this picture. So we were really pushing each other towards the final limits. You know, Paul and I was literally giving everything that we got into this. Any way of drawing, any colors, any inks, everything here was really the maximum that we can give, because we have deadlines and we need to... I haven't, to answer to your question, I haven't copy-pasted anything from the movie. I was just naturally really close in way of how I'm thinking about the stuff, and my aesthetics are basically, maybe that is just luck, I don't know, but I'm really close to it. As we are going, I decided to do colors as well, because it was the only way how we can achieve the to stay into inside of the deadlines. We worked only, we talked only for 5 months almost, only talking about the story, all of these technical details. And then when we started with work, it was impossible to brief somebody in who is like a colorist, you know, in 1 or 2 weeks. To give him those 5 months of talking, it is impossible. So that means that somebody who will join us to do colors, for example, would need to have the notes from me and Paul nonstop, like daily. I don't like this, I don't like that, you need to do this, all that. So there is nobody who can join us in that small amount of time and to be prepared as we are. So I decided to do colors as well. That is tremendously tough to be done. because you're doing everything, for example, I was drawing 32 pages in layouts, then I was inking 32 pages and then coloring 32 pages, all of that in 35 days. It is a huge amount of job. And it is impossible to be achieved if you are not really passionate about it, if you don't know everything about it, and if you are not the one who is deciding about everything. So I was having the arc from the first towards the final chapter in inks, that is following the evolution of the character, and in the colors as well. The palette is changing as we are going, as well as the drawings are. So those are all things that are generated in those initial 5-4 months of talking. So when we started to work, it was like a drawing by itself. It is just that easy, because we have we had everything sorted out already.
And you didn't have to discuss it much, because I don't know if you were sending the pages also to Paul and your editor, and they were doing maybe comments on it, and you had also exchange about the work while it was produced, but you didn't have to go much and redo stuff, because you had everything planned for so long before.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I mean, I haven't got any kind of feedbacks from DC in sense of the pages. They are just really thrilled with what we have. So.
Yeah, because you're that good.
Oh, thank you so much.
Because it's really good. But okay. I wanted to know, where does it come, this aesthetic that you have? Because I discovered you work with, because I'm so focused on the American comic books that I don't see everything that is published in France. So I don't know if it was also this kind of style for example, in the Conan or the Tarzan. What are your influences, basically? Because I saw some kind of, I don't know, Dave McKean a little bit in these pages, some Bill Sienkiewicz also. I don't know if there are some of the artists that you took inspiration from while building your style.
No, there is no direct influence from anybody of those gentlemen. I had the privilege to consider Bill Sienkiewicz my friend, because we met in New York as well, and we had a... amazing conversation, and he's a huge, not only artist, he's huge as a person. I really love him. But I don't have direct influences in sense of the artist who is just really big. And I have a logic behind it. When you're born, you have some kind of the handwritings. So your handwritings is just yours. It cannot be copied. I mean, some kind of a professional can do it, but it is recognizable that it is yours. It is the combination of your motoric and muscle power that you have. So it is the same with the drawings. You have some kind of the energy that is going out from you, and you cannot control it. You can maybe improve your skill, how can you draw it by technical details, like which pen, which technique, anatomy knowledge, you know, those kind of stuff. But that is still going to be your handwritings. You cannot run from that. As for example, you have Dino Battaglia, who was drawing in a certain way, and there is a lot of other guys during the last 60 years who are drawing the similar way, but they're not copying each other. No. They're just part of the same cluster of minds. That is, for example, Alberto Breccia, Dino Battaglia, Sergio Toppi. Those are the Italian South American giants who are all drawing that kind of the graphic approaches, but they are not copying each other. Same thing is here. I'm not copying anybody. I don't think so. Don't worry. I'm just answering the question because I think that I'm not the only one who is thinking the same. When you are working really honestly on something, the pure person is getting out, and it is going to look like somebody else, maybe 30, 40, 60, 100 years ago before you, because somebody was already in there, in that place, because he's thinking like you, he's having the aesthetic like you. I have huge respect towards the Bill Sienkiewicz, but he was not influenced. He was not influencing me in any way possible. But I'm hugely honored because he was drawing the covers for the Riddler in the States. He was doing the main cover for the series. That is
honored. And that's how you can make also the connection. Effectively. But how do you make an atmosphere on the paper? Because from the first page, we are in the Batman universe, but already with the, you know, very moody, very rainy, dark city. And but you're not doing it in a photorealistic way. It's more abstract, I guess, or even though with that we have also supernatural visions, kind of, you're not like in the very real depiction of the world. So how do you build that?
The starting point was that I didn't want to draw Paul as a photorealistic character, like using the photo references and just drawing above it. I didn't want that to happen because I don't trust in that. I don't have much respect towards that kind of the approach. You know, when you're using so much references and you are not drawing, you are copying the reality. I don't like that. So in all of my work, I'm following the same line. I'm generating the quality as much as I can from nowhere. Like I'm sitting, thinking about the stuff, and then I'm starting to draw. So I decided to go with the look-alike approach. That means that I'm seeing Paul. I know him from earlier. I know the facial details on him that can be easily reproduced, and that you can be aware that that is that character, because I'm not drawing Paul Dano, I'm drawing Edward Nashton. That means that I'm not portraying the friend of mine. I am working on a character. So that means that look-alike is just enough. Also, the other stuff. For example, Paul Dano's character, Riddler, is in the movie like maybe only 5 minutes, 6 minutes. A movie is 3 hours long. So there is not much...
Three hours.
I'm not sure. 3 hours, yeah. There is not much of the Riddler given to us as a audience. Like how he behaved, his... body movement, you know, body language, even the costume. We don't have that in the movie. We have the Riddler in the costume and partially the face when we are having the him talking on the screens and stuff. So there is a lot of empty space that can be filled, and it is not designed yet. So that was my job, to design something that hadn't been part of the movie. That is also look-alike. I was not copying Paul or film in a level of references. I was trying to stay close to it by, for example, asking to have photos from the set to see the designs and to see what is the line that we need to follow and where is the empty space for us to try to deliver quality that is only ours as a team. So I was searching for the references. I got them. I look at them and I then decided where we can go from there. So that means that we are staying close to the film because it is official, the prequel of the movie. But also we are having so much empty space for us to deliver our own approaches and ideas. And we did that.
So you didn't have like a lot of pressure from the big entity, Warner Brothers? That's a great thing to do when you've got, when you're on such a...
Both of us were aware. I mean, I can talk in my name. I was aware of Warner Brothers that it is the film that most likely a lot of people are going to see the comic and somehow comment on it. So I was aware of it, but I didn't have any kind of the influence from them. They are not sending mails. We are not exchanging anything. So Paul and I just did the best as we can, and we really, really enjoyed it. I mean,
I really like how you draw also Edward's face with the glasses, which in which the eye fades out. You don't see his look. Is it a way for us to have some distance with him and seeing that he's not maybe not like us in a normal way? Should I say?
Well, I use glasses as one of way of communication between the reader and the Edward's soul, because you know, you need to portray the state of mind of the character somehow, and you don't want to repeat yourself, and you need to establish as much as you can moments and lines which can be used to portray the emotion. So I'm not using only the Edward's face or his glasses or jacket or whatever. I'm using surroundings. So during the story, even the background in the panels where Edward is emerging are also telling the story about the Edward's inner dynamics. So the demons that are appearing from nowhere, his reflections here and there. So we are literally living the insights of the Edward Nashton during all of the comic. And also in some places when we are not seeing the eyes, it is because we don't have to see the soul. The soul is dead. There is no Edward at the moment, you know, that is just the shell. So I really used a lot of glasses because they are, as you all know, eyes are the mirror of the soul. So I was using glasses a lot to portray the character as much as I can, in sense of his evolution, diving into that depth of the madness and, you know, all of that.
And how do you approach the way of drawing Batman? Because it's a story about Edward, but still you've got to draw a little bit of Batman. So I guess that was exciting for you. But how do you make a good Batman on paper? What's the recipe for you?
Well, I cannot speak in name of anybody else except me.
I want your point of view. Yeah.
No, thank you. I will give it. I just finished the work with Tom King on the Penguin. I done two episodes of Penguin, which is absolutely DCU mainstream. Like, you know, Batman is that way. He have that cape. He have that same costume for like 8 years. That is it. You cannot change anything around it. But in the Matt Reeves' Batman, it is totally different kind of costume and character inside. So it is not the same approach for both of them. For example, drawing the Batman from the Matt Reeves, it is forcing you to be unique, you know, because that Batman is just like mine. I'm really seeing the Batman in the same way, like a shadow. He's the knight, as we all know, but he's not appearing as a knight so far. He's always some kind of the fantasy character who is coming from nowhere, like two fantasy person for me, like you know, from Tim Burton till today, he's like so much. He's not that real reality based character, but Matt Reeves gives exactly that. That Batman can be easily met on the street somewhere. Somebody's taking a cape. You know that scene when Batman is appearing for the first time in a film, and he's going there to save that Asian guy who is get bitten by the punks and stuff. And one of those guys, that hooligans, was telling, look at that freak, who is he, you know, the freak. And that is something that is really impressive, because that is the Batman naturally. He's just one guy with a mask. And designing that kind of the character is really easy, because he's the knight. He's the literally the knight. And totally different approach than the one in Penguin, in main DCU. So it was really impressive how the freedom is influencing your choices, and then you can really decide which approach is better for you. And I felt that my work on Batman in the Riddler was really just that, total freedom. And we were lucky, because my own impression of the Batman is really close to the one in the film. So it was generically close to each other. It was amazing. I enjoyed it deeply, because that is something that I would like to have in my career in following years, to have that kind of freedom to do what I like with the characters with that magnitude as the Batman is.
Okay, and I also had a question, because I was really impressed by your issue number 5, which is all reports and notes and stuff like that. Environmental narrative that you're using, and I was wondering also. I guess it was also a way to like. To make the reader, the reader being also lost in all the clues, the details, the story. It was really to put the reader into the enigma that is the whole story.
Yes, the issue, the chapter 5 was the diary of the diary of the Edward Nashton. And we decided to go, Paul decided to use this approach to portray the final point, the pivotal point when the Edward is becoming the Riddler. So we are not giving the Edward, we are giving his soul in a way of writings. So he's writing his diary and we are seeing what is really happening with him. My job was to design that diary. So that means that Paul gave me his script, what should be written on those pages. And that was the most demanding chapter to be done. Because, you know, if you are need to write something down and you don't want to copy the font, for example, the letter design from the film, you need to deliver everything on your own. So you need to have your own design and solutions for font, for design of the pages, where is what happening and where you are going to draw what on those pages. Because as you can see on those 27 pages in chapter 5, there is combination of something that can be written like a comic form and the most of it is not. So to decide all of those details, it was really demanding and I had 35 days to do it. And also the most important thing is that when you are writing that stuff and you are designing the diary of the mentally ill person, you need to feel something like that. You need to have the kind of the energy and emotion that can influence the people in a way that they can trust you when they are reading it, you know. If you see something that is in beautiful handwritings talking about the madness, you're not going to trust it that much, you know. So everything that you are doing on those pages should tell the story about the mental state of the person who is really writing it. But you're not Edvard Meštan, you know. You are some guy from Serbia and you are not living that kind of the life. But you need to work on it so that it can be as much close to the real problem and issues that person can have that you can achieve in yourself, even if you don't have them. So it was demanding because you really have, as an actor, you need to live through that emotion so that you can really pierce it into the paper. And also I was handwriting it. I was not using the font. So it means that is the reason why I decided to underline some words, to make them fatter, bigger, to highlight them, you know. And that is some kind of the flow in a madness, which was totally generated by me flowing, diving into the character. So I was sort of doing the actor job as well, because I'm not drawing Edward, I'm writing down. It is totally strange because we were breaking down the form of the medium. It is not the comic as we used to see it. So it was a really demanding chapter.
And really, really interesting. So we don't have much time for another question, but I thank you a lot for being here and answering all of these questions about the Riddler Year One. What can we hope for you? Are you writing another or drawing for another American publisher, or are you focusing on the European market right now?
I'm working a lot and I was just finished with work on a Metal Elan story, which is going to be published soon. Those are the 50 pages that I wrote and drew. I finished with work on a Penguin series with Tom King. Those are two episodes of the supervillain, but the other one, it is a Penguin. I signed a contract with DC and I'm going to do something new with them. And I'm starting to work just when I came back home after the Angoulême. I cannot tell what is it about, but I'm really into it and I cannot wait you guys to see what is it about. So,
okay, we'll see.
It is a pleasure, my friend.
Yeah, we'll be looking forward to it. All right. Thank you, Steven.
It was a pleasure. Thank you for having me.